Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It's a wonderful Friday to be Francesca because she's moving into her
moving day,
big
baby.
Apartment.
Moving on up.
The west side. Because she's coming from the east side, and I know the lyrics are the east side, but.
Yeah, but I'm leaving the east side.
She's leaving.
What about Moving Out by Billy Joel? You know that song?
Do I know that song?
On a midnight train to the west side.
Yeah, Moving Out by Billy Joel. When I first moved out of my dorm room, when I first left the first college I was at, I listened to that song on repeat.
Yeah.
I even tweeted, Moving Out, Billy Joel.
I think I'm like, I've been okay, and I'm just so excited for the new apartment, but I do think leaving the Upper East Side in the morning could be like Sob City. I just, because I got emotional thinking about it. I've lived in, this is the only place like I've lived in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like I was just thinking about all like the life, the crazy life moments that I've had while living in that apartment. I'm like, wow, it's really kind of like an end of an era. Like I was a student there. I got my internship there, my full-time job. I met Joe. Like there, all these things happened while living in this apartment. I'm not trying to make you cry.
Seriously, getting really emotional.
I don't. You can't cry. You can't cry. I said I was going to cry. You cry is going to make me cry now.
We're both crying.
Unbelievable. Anyway, now I don't. Now I'm trying. Now I'm going to downplay it. Whatever. I hate this apartment.
I started giggling at first because I Noah's crying.
I'm not crying. I'm not crying.
Noah. And guess what? You don't have a camera on you,
camera,
so no one will ever know.
No one will ever know. He is crying, though. No, I got emotional because I started laughing at first because I knew that I was going to start getting emotional about it. It's just you named a lot of important things in your life.
Like
and I'm
major
so
things
happy
that
for
I've
you.
Been in that apartment for. And that, like, I've just gone through, like, a lot of life in that apartment. No, I'm serious.
Get it together.
I know you're serious. I can't
Which
help
is,
myself.
I know. So, it's a big step, leaving and doing this. So, I'm excited.
We are excited for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I wish I wasn't actually crying. I wish I wasn't. But it's a huge moment in your life. Mm-hmm. Very excited for you and Joe. I feel like I'm giving a wedding speech.
Yeah.
I can't tell which avenue I want to take with the rest of this. Do I want to keep going emotional or do I want to steer away?
No, we can.
Okay, I'll wrap up my nice words.
Yeah.
I am super excited for you and Joe. I think that this is great. We've been waiting for you to take this next step in your life. We didn't know when it would happen. Everyone was wondering. We were talking with the family. We said, when is she going to start doing this? And you're finally here.
Yeah.
And it's happening, and we're super excited. And I have to give you a housewarming present, so we'll have to think about that. Okay. You didn't get me one, but that's okay.
I did not.
You should have given it on the pod today. Damn.
Well, I didn't think about it until now. I just
like I thought about it right now.
In this very moment, I thought I must get her a housewarming present.
Wait, so are you going with Fran to the apartment?
She asked me to.
I asked you to.
And will I accept?
You seem like you did.
In the moment,
she accepted. Are you rescinding your acceptance?
No, I'm still going to come, but fun fact, I've never been to France. She had all these big life moments there, but not having her co-host Rhea
there.
Any
of them.
So that's kind of disappointing. I didn't see the apartment.
Maybe you should go, like, the last day she's there, you're there, like, helping her move out.
You don't want to help me move
out. No, I would if you need me to. I'm not busy tomorrow.
It's pretty much done. Everything is boxed up.
Good.
Got
out of that.
Yeah. It's pretty much all
done.
But you
can still go just to see it.
But it's empty now. Like, there's nothing in there. There's not a
speck
of furniture.
You should take the Will Smith picture of her, like, standing there, like, crying.
I should. That would be deep. That's a little too dark. I don't know.
That is.
But I will go check out the apartment.
If I was, like, leaving and didn't have a plan, then, it'd be way more sad. But
she came with me to see my apartment before we moved into to do the walkthrough as well. So I'll do it for you, babes.
Thanks.
I'll do it for you. Super exciting. Me and Noah played a mean prank on Fran before this, and I'm glad to see that we've come out on the other side of it, because she was really not happy for a good 20 minutes. She wouldn't speak.
I had to sit with it for like 10 minutes and then I was okay.
It was uncomfortable, but I get it. Not everyone's down with a prank. Hank's annoyed with me lately because I played a prank on him where in the middle of the streets of the city, I got down on one knee. And he didn't like that.
Are you, like, about to become a fucking prank TikToker? Are you going to be Crocs Kid out in Times Square, farting in people's faces?
Absolutely not.
You're halfway there.
No, my pranks are harmless. Getting down on one knee.
You got no, but you could get the prank.
Hilarious. What,
did you say anything?
That was just funny.
I said, "Will you marry me?"
Like in a serious way.
No, he knew I was. Okay, yeah. So because what happened was we were walking to the subway with somebody from work, and I texted them, and I was like, "Yo, I'm going to play a prank on Hank. I'm going to ask you to take a picture of us because I like my outfit today. And then I'm going to hand you the camera." So that's exactly what we did. And Hank was so honored. He was like, "Oh, you want to take a picture?" He took out his disposable film camera and here, take a good one. And he was just upset because he was like, "Oh, you don't actually want to take a picture?" He knew I wasn't actually proposing. And Franz was just...
I'm just saying I feel like you're getting the prank bug. Like, now you're, like, into pranking people.
I'm so into pranking people. But in a harmless way. I would never do anything.
You're so anti-April Fool's,
that's what they all say
too,
at the beginning.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, because it's
one
day.
Well, April Fool's is one day that's annoying. Like, she's going to start pranking every day, but April Fool's.
Yeah, hijinks. Yeah. A little bit of hijinks. A little bit of a recorded hijinks is a good time. Harmless hijinks. Like... fake proposing to Hank, harmless. Yep. Telling you that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra broke up, harmless, when you find out that it's not real. Yeah. Within 30 seconds, you're like, "Oh, that's not real." Fran didn't, for 20 minutes, wouldn't speak.
Well,
great acting on me and Rhea.
Yeah, Noah.
I wish
great.
It ended a little bit sooner. Like I could have gone like a minute and believed it, but you went for a really long time.
Because I was wondering when you were
considered a really long time.
Like, I think
it was 5 minutes tops.
But we started talking about other stuff, and I'm like, she still hasn't told me that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
No, no, we were talking about other stuff that came up. I was like, I didn't know how long you were going to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this like, is she going to tell her like tomorrow?
I got it all on camera.
Yeah. It went on for too long that I got mad.
Yeah.
But if it ended maybe a little bit earlier.
We're past that, though. We are past that.
And I don't like being gullible. Like, I feel like people who get pranked are gullible, and that's, like,
I don't think that's being gullible. I think, like, was no reason for you to, like, not believe
I did
her.
Question it at the beginning also.
But even, like, why would you think she's lying about that?
Exactly.
She's a prankster now.
Here's the thing.
I mean, next time, yeah.
I'm going to be fact-checking every time she says something now.
I know Fran will never believe me again when I have my phone out and I'm telling her
news. If she tells me any Jonas Brothers news, I'm never believing it ever again.
I realize that. The thing is, the pranking is not to make the other person look a fool. You know, everybody gets pranked.
Right.
If you tell anybody that something happened and they believe it.
But the person being pranked feels like a fool.
They feel like a fool.
Yes.
But I just want everyone to know that is not the goal. The goal is to just make other people laugh.
Yourself.
Myself and other people. Because when other people see that, they're like, "Oh, that's pretty funny." Harmless. Yeah. Harmless. Yeah. Harmless.
Look,
fun.
You're a toe in the water. There was a kid here who worked at Barstool very briefly.
Do not compare me to this fucking Crocs kid. Don't compare me to Crocs kid.
Don't even
mention he
him.
Was a Hoodwinks guy. That's what he did. He had a whole YouTube channel. Like, I think him working...
Yeah, he was a bad guy.
He was bad. No, I know. I'm saying you're dipping your toe into the prank world. And once you get a taste of the good, you know, you're getting all these laughs. Everybody on TikTok is like, "Wow, Rhea, you're so funny. Good jokes."
Nobody's saying that. No, absolutely nobody.
Then all of a sudden, you know, you're pouring water over your head on the subway.
I would never do such a thing.
What did he do on the subway?
He poured like cereal.
Yeah, that
was
ridiculous.
Yeah,
that kid sucked so much.
No, he sucked so bad. I would never do something that would actually harm anybody.
Okay.
The first prank I pulled was telling everybody that O.J. Simpson died.
Oh, yeah,
like, that's harmless because it's O.J. Simpson. And you know what I mean? And then, what?
You're dipping your toe.
I'm dipping my toe.
See don't worry.
We're worried about
warm.
You.
Seeing if the water's warm.
Is this an intervention?
No. we would know. Noah and I would know if the pranking got out of control.
Anyways, follow me on TikTok at Rhea Chiff, CIUFF.
Yeah.
And you'll see all my fun pranks on Noah and Fran.
Yep.
Hank said something to me last night that really stuck with me. And it's been,
I mean, where is this going? I thought that sound, that was so serious the way you just said that.
It's pretty serious.
Okay.
I was in an annoying mood,
mm-hmm.
talking a lot,
mm-hmm.
which I do,
mm-hmm.
and I just was nonstop talking. I just was walking around the apartment talking to myself,
chatterbox,
just saying things that just didn't have to be said. And I was like, why are you ignoring me? And he goes, because sometimes your words could have just stayed thoughts.
Damn.
Doesn't that hit hard?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been sitting with me.
Sometimes, however, we make our money by putting our thoughts into words.
Well, that's another thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, well,
yep.
I don't know about that. And he goes,
but sometimes, maybe in the privacy of your own home.
Right.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to write that one down. And he was like, you think that's, and he was like, wow, do you think that's going to be beneficial to your life? You think you're going to use that? I said, no, absolutely not. I'm just going to write it down because I thought it was funny that you said that to me.
Damn. So he said that you thought it was thought provoking, and then you said it wasn't that good.
No, I mean, it was thought provoking for sure. I thought to myself,
yeah,
hey, he's making a point.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't writing it down to remember it. You were writing it down.
No, I wasn't writing it down to remember it for myself in the future. I was writing it down to remember for this podcast.
Got it.
To talk
okay.
about it.
Okay, okay.
Not because going forward, am I going to stop being
Hank, catching myself. A lot of L's the last couple days.
Yeah.
Fake proposed to, thought he gave you some good advice. You said, nah, this is good material for the podcast.
He's getting really annoyed with that.
He's like, why are you going to write that down? That's so nice. No, actually, I'm going to tell the world about it on the podcast.
Well, he said to me, he's like, are you using me for clout? Because the other week, I had this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was super high. And I was like, oh, my God.
You don't use him enough.
No, well, okay. That, yes. But at the same time, I was like, oh, my God, you're Hank.
Mm, yeah.
I was like, people know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You number
you
one sports
don't
podcast.
Use him enough for clout.
I know, and I was like, I need to step my game up.
Yeah,
people know you, and
you
he
guys
was
don't.
Like,
you guys don't interact on social media as much as you could, which is a nice thing, I will say, because I think that could also be a super annoying,
right?
But a little, you could a little bit more.
Yeah,
the TikTok you posted about the pod, that was funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that was the revelation. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, you. He was slightly offended. He was like, oh, you're just realizing people know who I am? Mm-hmm. And I was like, not that. I just don't think of you as like, oh my God, you're Hank.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I do.
Yeah.
Now you're just a pawn in my little game. Okay, moving on.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, there is a whole market there. And
you got to pander to like, the part of my take
couples
route.
Videos, couple YouTubes. Look at Cody, Cohen, and Kelsey. They got a great thing going on.
I know. Couples got a great thing going online.
Mm-hmm.
Couples got a great thing going
they
online.
They do.
And for the past 4 years, I've been ignoring that.
You have.
I've been acting like, you know. Well, because we work together, so I'm always like, we can't, like, post certain things.
Yeah.
People are going to know about our relationship.
It's you don't want to share too
you've
much,
been
but now
for
it's
four
been a
years.
Long time.
Yeah, because sometimes when I share something, and then I'm like, wait, everybody in the office is going to see that.
Yeah,
and they
both
work with us, and that's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I put up a quote card, like, inspirational quotes that Hank says to me.
You guys hugged in the office yesterday, and
it was so weird.
It was so weird. Nobody else reacted, but it was just me being like, why are they hugging?
Wasn't that so weird?
It really was. Like,
it really
in
was,
Hank's
right?
corner, you got, like, he went in for a full embrace. Like, it was like a nuzzle hug. And I was like, what are you guys doing?
It was really weird, right?
I don't think anybody else felt weird about it except me. Because maybe just because I never see you guys act like that at work. And so when I saw it at work, I was fuck you guys doing.
I know, it was so weird. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I put up inspirational quotes or things he says to me, and I made them into inspirational quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, the only thing that's thick is that ass. And I put it up and I was like, people at work are going to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it's just,
yep.
I don't know. It's uncomfortable, but funny at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are for sure times you can play it up a little bit.
Yeah. Like I said, a pawn in my game.
Yep.
Okay, let's get into the topics for today because we didn't do many topics on Wednesday, and we have a full show of topics for everybody today, and we have a great interview.
It's so hot in here, man.
Are you going
through sweating?
Are you going through something?
No. It's very hot in this room.
You're wearing a sweatshirt, too.
I know. And
Take it off!
I don't have a shirt on underneath, so
show
I can't.
Show us your boobs!
Oh, God. Not today.
I have the giggles today.
All right, go back into the topics.
Remember when I made up that song about your boobs in Aruba?
Franny's boobs. Yeah.
I won't sing it right now. Let's get into the topics for today's episode because we did not do topics on Wednesday's episode, so we have a full show for you guys today. We're going to start off with the Tristan Thompson, Khloe Kardashian cheating rumors. Are they together? What's going on? We have all the information for you. Vanderpump Rules returns to filming, and half the cast is missing. Yep. Half of them stayed the same. Katie's season of The Bachelorette has officially wrapped, and there's a lot of rumors surrounding the season that we'll dive into. Billie Eilish revealed that she's releasing a new album July 30th. She released the track list and a new music video called Your Power, and Britney Spears will finally appear in front of the court herself on June 23rd. And we have an interview with the one, the only, Zach C., Zach Clark, the winner of Tayshia's season of The Bachelorette. And Fran wore her Philly shirt for him, which I thought was really sweet.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's get into it, starting off with Tristan Thompson.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian are back in the news. Another cheating scandal on the horizon. Did he cheat? Are they together? So many questions that people are wondering. We're going to dive right into it. These three women appeared on the No Jumper podcast.
Blackout Girls.
Yes. And they...
I'm not sure what they do. Blackout?
Sounds it.
I tried to Google them and I like couldn't even really find anything.
I'm assuming they just party.
Yeah.
Right? They just go with the flow?
I mean, I looked at all of their Instagrams, and like they have individual Instagrams, but then there's the Blackout Girls, but there's nothing like the Blackout Girls. Like there's no, you know, Instagram that's just the Blackout Girls or anything like that. But then on the No Jumper, if you watch the YouTube, it's like the Blackout Girls return.
Do they have a podcast?
No. I think, or maybe they, no, like there is a Blackout Girls Instagram, and it's definitely like a group of friends Finsta account. Like it's private. It has 20 followers.
Savage.
Like, yeah. Like it's
we're going
like
to show
this,
your high school.
This, it's like this girl wasted like in the picture. There's no, so I don't really know. Like I tried to look up more about the women, but I guess just as a group, they're known as...
The Blackout.
I feel like No Jumper has a bunch of just like random people on like that you would never like.
That is
they
true.
They don't have like a show
and this
or
is
anything.
Not the first time that a woman has gone on No Jumper and like said talked about like having a relationship.
Yeah, well, I
with
feel like a lot
basketball
of
players, or
yeah,
athletes, or
I feel like a lot of women that go on No Jumper are people that run in the same in those circles,
yeah.
And then talk about it.
Yeah. Can we talk about something for a second? Because you just said it. Demi from The Bachelor tweeted out the clip she was watching our segment talking about her in Reality Steve. And she noticed that you say the plural of woman. And I say women. And there's two, it goes back and forth. And now that she posted, every time you say woman,
am I saying it wrong?
I don't know.
Wait,
I think there's multiple ways of saying
it. What are you saying?
Woman?
But like, woman. Are you talking about one person?
No, she's
or
saying
multiple. Because how you're supposed women? If you're talking about multiple, it's women.
Women.
If you're talking about like Fran is a woman.
How do you say singular? Singular one person, one lady.
Fran is a woman. You're women.
Both of you. I believe God is a woman.
Yes, God one person.
Woman.
Woman.
Now say plural.
Now, like, both of you are women.
Women.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't say women when you say, when you're talking about two people. Deep breath.
She's crying again.
I'm not crying. It's just, I know that people came here because they want to listen to us talk about the Tristan Thompson stuff.
Yes, and we're talking
and
about it.
And we're going to talk about it, but here's the thing. And this
These woman is what
and,
you said.
And this is, I guess, what Hank was saying, that sometimes my thoughts could, my words could just stay as thoughts. But here's the time where I feel like I must talk. I must speak about what's happening uh-huh. right now. And I want to say something.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Are we going to go back to your acting coach and pronunciation? Because if we are...
Just let me explain. When I was,
went to acting school.
No, it's not that. When I yeah. was younger, I had a Long Island accent, obviously. And when I was acting, mm-hmm. my manager was like, listen, we're getting a lot of feedback that you have a heavy accent and you need to go to a speech pathologist. I can't even say speech pathologist now because I'm getting all nervous. You need to go to a speech pathologist and work on this accent and learn how to say certain things. Mm-hmm. And I did that week after week
yeah.
after week. I had to bring a fucking tape recorder. Yeah, yeah. You remember?
Or yeah, yeah, yeah. Record.
I had to bring a tape
listen
recorder with
back.
Me, record the whole session, listen to myself back. I had worksheets. I had homework yeah. I had to do. So I did this for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now all the time, all the time... All the time, people are telling me I'm saying words wrong.
I actually think the woman is the Long Island accent coming back out.
I know. And there's really nothing we can do about it anymore, and that's that. And it just frustrates me that my parents wasted their money.
I just didn't really think it was that noticeable until Demi tweeted it out. And I was like, wow, I guess
I
never noticed
that. I think it's just like some people just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Sorry, guys. I must enunciate more.
She didn't, but it was funny because she didn't say, like, she didn't say, oh my God, she's saying it wrong. She was saying it's interesting that people say that word differently.
That's a nice way to say yeah. that you're saying.
You know the Harry Styles song, Woman?
Is singular.
Yeah.
Woman.
Yeah.
Woman.
That was a trivia question.
The Blackout Girls are women.
They're women. There are certain words that I can't, like, drawer. Can't draw.
You know what's something like,
struggle with that one.
I can never spell definitely. Like when I'm writing it down, I'm always like defiantly
about that extra E.
Or like it's just I get it mixed up. No, yeah. no, like just the
guarantee
middle of
is
it.
That word for me.
Yeah. There's some words.
Don't have that problem. I'm a phenomenal speller.
Yeah, well there you go.
Straight up. Sorry.
You
okay,
lost
let's,
your spelling.
Okay, so these girls,
what?
These women.
So you left.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
These women went back on the No Jumper podcast. They were joking around about hooking up with guys, and one of them asked Sydney Chase, how's Tristan Thompson's dick? That's just how this all started. They were drinking, they were having fun, they were talking about it, and it blew up slowly. Like, this podcast came out, and there wasn't really a reaction. It was on a few, like, social media pages and not, like, mainstream media, but then it blew up, and it was all over the place once again of... her. And then she posted a TikTok. Sydney posted this TikTok. It's like a Charlie's Angels looking TikTok. It's her and her two girls like behind me. It's like her muscle is behind her. And she, it was all around a very interesting TikTok the way she structured it. One, it was like, I know the entire world is talking about me. Insert screenshots of all these headlines about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then she apologized saying it was a private thing that she shouldn't have spoken about publicly, but I'm going to talk about it again and give more detail, saying they met in November. They hung out. January was, I believe, the time she spoke about them on the podcast. And then the last time she spoke to him, besides when he, I guess, heard the interview or heard what she said and he messaged her, it was the night of Drew's birthday party, which obviously wasn't that long ago. So I don't know. It's shady. It sounds like Tristan Thompson walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, probably a duck. And so I don't know. It's hard because it's just happened before. So it's like, yeah, okay. Sure, it happened again.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Are Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson even together? Because if you've been watching this season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they have said multiple times that they are not romantically and sexually together, but they're working together as co-parents.
Right.
So to me, that kind of seemed like they were good friends, they're good co-parents, but maybe they are not actually in a relationship. And so that's why
I kind of felt like they may have been sneaky, like, sleeping together, but she didn't want to say it on the show.
Well, that's possible.
Like, I feel like when Tristan and Scott had a conversation, and it seemed like Tristan sort of hinted that, like, something extra was happening. Like, he's like, you know, we're sleeping in the same bed, and, like, you know, I don't...
Yeah, they're cuddling, they're getting along, yeah. So I can see how that would mean, hey, you know, we're together, but we're not together. There's a mutual understanding in our heads that we are trying, but we're not putting a label on it. And I feel like maybe that's where they were at, or maybe that wasn't where they were at all, and maybe they really were just co-parenting. So I feel like the relationship of those two are getting very confused, because now this is a Tristan Thompson cheating scandal, which I'm not defending Tristan Thompson. I think he's a piece of shit. I think he's garbage. And I stand by that now. I talked about this the last podcast, that I feel like you and I both were like, okay, Khloe, you know, when people were saying that they were back together and Khloe went on her Instagram and was like, I could do whatever I want. Why is anybody giving me shit? This is my life. We were like, yeah, we agree. You can do whatever you want if she's going to forgive Tristan Thompson, but kind of, you know, keep that same energy for Jordan Woods. That was one thing that we were like, you know, you got to forgive both. But we get it. Now I'm like, no, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I think Khloe Kardashian can do so much better. I think she's wasting her life and wasting her time with Tristan Thompson, who evidently is going to cheat again. Maybe if they weren't together now, or when this happened with this woman. There I go again. With this woman.
No, you're good.
With this woman.
Now I'm thinking about it a lot.
Yeah. And whatever happened here, maybe they weren't together, so maybe it wasn't actually cheating. Who knows? Yeah. He's going to do it again. I don't think that he's really a great guy when it comes to relationship shit. Maybe he's a good dad. You could be a good dad, but also be a garbage boyfriend, a garbage husband, just a garbage human in a relationship. And I feel like that's kind of who he is. So we need to stop accepting Tristan Thompson into Khloe Kardashian's life romantically for her at this point, because she's not doing it herself, it seems. Yes, they need to keep a relationship because they have a kid together, of course, but there are plenty of people who make it work. There are plenty of people who are not together, who have a kid, and they make it work. I feel like from what we see is that Khloe really wanted to make it work with Tristan because that is the father of her first child. And I get that. I understand that. But there needs to come a time where you understand he's not it. Just not it.
Yeah. And I do think that the sisters have a dad. Like, one, you know, their father passed away when they were young. Very sad. And then they go through what happened with Caitlyn Jenner. And it's like, feel like they had a great childhood. They always talk about their great childhood, but it always has seemed like they've really wanted their families to be a unit and their kids to have one parent. Not one father. Like, where it's like Kim was always like having all of her babies with Kanye. Even with Courtney, it was like, okay, she was thinking about having a fourth kid with Scott, not being with Scott. And it kind of seems like it was the same thing for Khloe, potentially. She wanted to have another baby with Tristan, but may not actually be with Tristan. And it does seem from the show, from what we're watching that has happened last summer, that Tristan could have been in more of like a trial period. You know how they're sitting at that table and they're all joking about Courtney and Scott and like, let's just get married, get back together. And Courtney had said, you know, we've had this discussion. Scott knows what he needs to do for that to even be a conversation. So it's like, it makes me think that Khloe and Tristan may have had some kind of similar situation where it's like, we could get to the point where we get back together, but I'm giving him this long of a time to see if he fucks up or not. And if he doesn't, then we can talk about getting back together. And if he does, well, here we go again. So regardless of if they even have been together this whole time or not together at all, I think she was still looking to see if he could man up and not
fuck.
Sleep with other girls. And he wasn't able to do that. So it seems, allegedly. And so it's like even people being like, oh, I don't even know if they're together. I feel like Chloe was trying to get to a point where they could be together. This certainly does not help that at all.
Right. Well, just to play devil's advocate, and this is not what I believe, but just raising the question now. Do you think that it's right to make somebody who you're not in a relationship with not sleep with other women, other girls, other people?
Women.
You know, no. Like, I get what you're saying. And, like, in Tristan's mind, right, he's like, well, I'm single. She doesn't want to be with me. But when you have fucked up multiple times already, can you really blame Chloe for wanting to put him on some kind of like trial run? I can't. It's the same with Scott. Scott, we love Scott now and we've loved Scott and Courtney. But if you go back and watch like the earlier seasons of Kardashians, we all kind of hated Scott's guts. Like, Scott was terrible. He was really terrible bad to Courtney. Like, he's turned over a new leaf. He's a different guy now. And I think, you know, being a dad and a lot of things have changed for him. But, like, then you still see the pink hair and you're like, okay, are you good? Like, what's going on? But I don't know. I can't fundamentally, like, I get it. Like, it's like a trial run. Maybe she's maybe, you know, dicking him around a little bit. But when you fuck up like that, what is she supposed to do? Welcome you back with open arms? Like, yeah, let's be a couple again. Like, no, she wants to see if he can stand up to the job.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I was just raising the question because that's something that people would disagree on. But I think that you're right. I think it depends on the circumstances. Like, if this was just a normal relationship, normal girl and guy, you know, talking and
right. If like kids in college,
right? The guy exactly.
Cheats,
like, you're not.
Like, I'm giving you 6 months, and you can't sleep with anyone. And if you don't, like, we can get back together.
That's a ridiculous thing to ask. The kid's just gonna fucking move on and sleep with whoever he wants at that point. So I think there are certain cases where that would be a ridiculous thing to ask for somebody.
Yeah.
I think in this case where it's like, you publicly embarrassed me multiple times on an unbelievable level worldwide, you hooked up with my little sister's best friend. That's highly embarrassing. And
the time before that,
there are many times where he just publicly embarrassed her and also hurt her. So I feel like in this case, that would be something that I think Chloe was right by doing. Now, we don't know all the details. Yeah. We don't know if that's exactly what happened. But
Sydney's obviously getting her name out there, which, you know.
So that's another thing people are talking about and wondering is whether or not
the paparazzi's following her now.
Is this a clout chasing thing?
Taken of her. And the No Jumper podcast is interesting to me too, because I feel like that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Like Adam 22 like does that. Mm-hmm. Like he exposes people and puts people on blast and like, you know. So to me, I almost think that him having them on, they kind of go in with a plan being like, well, you're going to tell the Tristan story, right? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's confusing because I think if the story is true and this is what this girl wants to do, then she can do that.
Right? For sure.
And if you can call it clout chasing, you can call it whatever it is. I'm sure she knows that. I'm sure in her head she's like, yeah, I'm going to get some attention and whatever. And if you
her TikTok was set up like a press conference.
Right. And if you can deal with that, then, you know, go for it. Who's going to stop you? It adds entertainment to everybody else's lives. Yes, it adds, you know, it hurts other people's lives as well, which is unfortunate. But for the drama aspect, we're like, all right, spill it. Tell us what you got. So if you can deal with the backlash you're going to get when you do something like that, then whatever. It seems like this girl knows what she's getting into. I personally could never fucking do something like that. No. Never. I first of all, we would never sleep with somebody who was with somebody else. Yeah, we just wouldn't do that. We would just never do that. So that's the number one thing. But also, even when we hear things about celebrities or people we know, we don't say shit because you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
For sure.
Vanderpump Rules is back to filming. It seems like they will be returning, but with a much different cast.
Yeah.
Jax, Brittany, Stassi, Kristen, they are no longer on the show. This season's going to be the Toms. It's going to be Sheena, Lala, you know, Katie, those people, but the four that I named will not be on. And I also read that Lisa Vanderpump wants to be a more focal point of this next season. And I think that's probably because she's not on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah. She probably misses that shine from being on a reality show. And now she wants to be more involved in the next season, which I think will make up for the rest of the cast missing, even though we talked about this before and we thought just scratch everybody all together, start over, start fresh, get a new set of Vanderpump Rules. It doesn't seem like they're going that route. It seems like they're sticking with the cast.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen when filming was postponed, and were they going to come back? Were they not? How is it going to look? They are going to start filming again. It's a whole different look regardless. Lala, Sheena just had babies. Stassi also had her baby as well. So it's like, that's, it's...
And Brittany and Jax.
And Brittany and Jax, right. So it's just so... I don't know. The dynamic is going to be so interesting to me because they're all still so intertwined. That was always the thing about Vanderpump Rules that made it so great in the beginning, was it was people that actually knew each other before they started filming. And as the years have gone by, like last season when they put these new servers onto the show and it was kind of a disaster. It did not really work. And, you know, no, those guys aren't coming back. Dana's not coming back. I think Charlie is coming back. But it's like, where... are they going to try that again? Is it like, all right, let's get a new round of young people to try and infiltrate, which is not going to work because now we're dealing with just parents. Like, the conversation, their lives are so different for Sheena, for Lala. Even the little preview that Bravo had posted that felt like not scripted, because I know it's not, but it felt like a little contrived. Like, it was, oh, Katie, when are you gonna have a baby, you know, and they're talking about it and talking about it with Lala. So I don't know, it's hard. And like I said, they're all still friends, so it's how Jax, Brittany, Stassi, Beau, like, how do they not talk about them at all? Are they not involved? Like, they don't even get their name brought up, because we see on social media they're all still together. The babies are meeting each other. There's all these little baby play dates happening. It's very cute, but that won't be on the show. So I don't know how Lisa plans on elevating this, but I'm very curious to see how this plays out, because I kind of don't think it's going to be good.
I think we'll have to watch and see what happens to see how we feel in the beginning of it. I think if Lisa Vanderpump is involved way more, then I think the show is just going to turn focus to her. You're right. Their lives are dramatically different. Yeah. I don't know how interesting it's going to be. I don't know how they're going to want to film all the time and do things when they're trying to take care of newborns.
Yeah.
That's also going to be really tough. So I don't really think that Vanderpump Rules has a long-lasting shelf life.
Yeah.
I think that they'll see what happens this season and it could potentially be the last. And that's just my opinion. That's just my feeling on it. I don't know any information. So I think it's just like they're going to realize it's not the same.
Tom and Tom are always entertaining. I think they always bring comedic factor and they're fun. But it's now just the dynamic of like the drama and the gossip and the hookups. It's just not quite there. And if they bring new young people in, it just doesn't feel like Vanderpump Rules, because you know that all these people don't know each other. Like, it's like when Dana got put on, it was like, oh, she's been working at Tom Tom and she knows. It's like, no, she's not. It's like, she, you know, she's cast on this show, she does it for a season, and then she's like, I'm out, I'm leaving. So I don't know. It's very hard to show genuine friendships on this show that are not part of that first crew. And I don't think it's like going to work if they just keep bringing in new people that are quote unquote servers in the restaurant. Like, I don't know how long that's going to be sustainable.
Vanderpump was in its prime when Jax and Stassi were at each other's throats fucking Jax slept with Kristen and it was all fucked up to their friends, but it was highly entertaining.
James's
to
life
us.
Is even pretty chill these days.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about James.
Yeah, James and Raquel will be on, but like I just feel like their lives are
we haven't heard much about
chill.
Everybody besides the babies.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we might be getting.
A lot of baby content, which is nice. Babies are great.
Yeah.
Babies are great, and like watching the
babies
Instagram,
are great, but on reality
Instagram
TV
stories of them, amazing. Well, yeah, unless you're, you know, we're going MTV like
Teen Mom.
Yeah, but this is a different vibe.
Teen Mom is like a bunch of teens who got knocked up and now they got to deal with their kid, and it's they're crazy. They're out of their minds. This is like the babies can't talk.
Right. This is they're all like they're all just going through life's. Changes in like,
life's biggest moments.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very different without half of the people.
I am super excited because I submitted my Embark DNA kit from Norman because I want to find out all of Norman's traits. I want to find out what
I'm so interested
his breed because you know they say he's a dachshund, but I think there's more to him. Yeah. I think there's more to my pup that I want.
He just has so many more layers.
Listen, I was in the park yesterday and a woman comes up to me with her dachshund and she's like, "Oh my God, you have such a rare breed dachshund."
Wow.
And I was like, "What?" And she explained it to me. It's like a piebald dachshund.
Yeah.
Something about his coloring and the spots on him. She said, "You never see those two together." She was explaining to me. She's like a dachshund expert.
I was going
to
say,
no,
this woman
she knew
is well
everything. She knew everything. And I was like, "Wow." She was like, "That is so rare." She couldn't look away from him. She couldn't look away. And so now I'm really excited to get my Embark DNA kit back.
Fact
I submitted
checker.
It. I'm going to have to fact check her. You're right. And I will learn all about his breeds, his types, health conditions, things I need to know about him to make him live a better life. And just so we know about our sweet Norman. So you can learn your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Right now, Embark has an offer on their breed and health kit for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 off your Embark breed and health kit with promo code CHICKS. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code CHICKS to save $50 off today. The breed and health kit typically costs $199, but with our code, it's $149. So use promo code CHICKS at EmbarkVet.com and get that $50 off. Save today. Katie's season of The Bachelorette has officially wrapped. They finished filming. And we saw the promos for the season. It looked like they were worth about $3, the budget for the promo.
Yep.
They looked super cheap. This is nothing towards Katie. Yeah. It's just the way the promos were cut.
The background. It was like the plain white background.
The plain white background, the dresses, the outfits, everything about it looked super cheap.
Yeah.
And there are now rumors about what's happening with the season or had happened on the season. Dumois posted that somebody sent in that apparently it was up to Katie on whether or not Chris Harrison was going to return for this season of The Bachelorette.
And I have if you want to read it.
Yeah, I kind of know it by heart, but go ahead, read it.
But it's just because I think that the submission said the show was ready to welcome back Chris Harrison, but Katie needed to sign off. He called her to make sure that Katie would be cool if he returned. She said no. Then she tweeted immediately after the call that Harrison would not be returning to the show. Production and Chris were not expecting that. Now they are finding that everyone has a problem with Chris returning as host, and they may never be able to bring him back because no one wants him there. Multiple contestants and leads have expressed they do not want him there for Paradise and Michelle's season. Stick a fork in him. He's done. Now the high-powered attorney he hired makes sense. Chris Harrison will never be back as host of any show for the franchise. Now, it's an anonymous submission. Take it as you will. But it is, I believe more of it because of this E! News article that came out right after, like really defending Chris Harrison and being like, Chris Harrison was so missed. It was like so weird that he wasn't there. So it makes me think that, like, I don't know, they don't want the actual situation to come out, or Chris Harrison doesn't want the actual situation to come out. But I'm also skeptical on the first thing, thinking that like does Katie have that much power to be like, oh, he can't come back? And they're like, okay, yeah, whatever you say.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I feel like maybe they thought, since it is Katie's season, would she feel comfortable with Chris Harrison being the host and knowing everything that's going on? I understand what you're saying, though. Like, usually they don't really have that big of a say.
It doesn't feel like the, has control over production in that way.
Exactly.
Like Chris Harrison decisions.
Right. It seems like, well, maybe they were so fucking, like, confused on what to do that they were like, let's ask Katie.
Yeah.
You know, let's just ask Katie what she thinks.
Right.
And so that's what they ended up with.
Because the last
possibly.
Thing they need is more contestants like turning on the show or anything
exactly.
like that. Right?
Well, what if Katie did not want to be a part of a season that Chris Harrison was hosting?
Yeah, yeah.
She's already the Bachelorette. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that, you know, you'll read the facts from the E! News article that came out, but read that first and then.
So, very, you know, suspiciously a little bit, that's posted on Dumas. And then today, this E! News article comes out, headline, how Chris Harrison's absence impacted impacted the dynamic on set of Katie's Bachelorette season. A source close to production exclusively tells E! News that Chris's presence was missed because the guys always go to him for advice and view him as a wise older guy, and the ladies go to him as a father figure. During Katie's season, her contestants couldn't get the same advice rotation, Caitlin, the insider, says. I mean, I joke that, like, is this insider Chris Harrison? Because it's very complimentary towards him. Chris was also missed in the sense that he is, quote, the mediator and voice of reason on set. The second source explains the guys didn't feel like they could necessarily vent or have therapy sessions with Tayshia or Caitlin. It's easy with Chris because he knows the drill and the process. Ultimately, filming had a different vibe because it was a lot of female energy in one bubble and hard for Katie to have the full spotlight, noting that Caitlin and Tayshia have extremely outgoing personalities. It was a little hard to put all the focus on Katie when Caitlin and Tayshia were there. It wasn't necessarily competitive, but it was really a different vibe. I don't like anything in this article. Mm-hmm. Not a thing. I don't like the, like, oh, God, it was terrible without Chris Harrison there. And the, like, oh, Katie couldn't shine because Caitlin and Tayshia were there. Like, why are we?
That's just
we're already
going
to pit these women against each other. The season hasn't even started yet. We're going to say, oh, Katie didn't get a chance to shine because of Caitlin and Tayshia. Like, I don't like that either.
Yeah, they're basically saying, like, three women can't all be in the same space.
Right, like, they can't be the stars of this TV show. They need male energy.
Yeah, it's a terrible, fucking terrible message to put out there, first of all, because I feel like that's what so many women are fighting against, is like, no, we can all live in the same space, and we can all be successful, and we can all be happy for each other, and we can all support each other. And this article is basically like, nah, Caitlin and Tayshia...
They have too big of personalities.
They're taking up too much space, and Katie couldn't shine. Katie could fucking shine if she wants to.
Yeah.
Caitlin and Tayshia can shine if they want to. Everybody can shine together. It's not taken away.
I hate the way the whole thing's written. It's like, oh, Chris Harrison, the guys didn't have anyone to vent
to
because Chris Harrison was there, and then also say, oh, Caitlin and Tayshia, like, stole the show too much.
What do you mean the guys had no one to vent to, too much female energy, when there's arguably more men because there's 30 fucking men competing for one woman?
Yeah,
you looked at, you got 30 men you can turn to vent to.
Yeah.
And there's three women. And you're saying there's too much female energy? That makes zero sense.
And, like, I don't think they have a scheduled time for contestants to go sit down and have a vent session with Chris Harrison.
No.
Like, I've never thought Chris Harrison was that involved with the contestants that much, because there's so many times, and we've had contestants on the show who said, oh, you know, I really only talked to Chris a couple times. Like, I don't know him that well.
Right.
Like, so it's not like he's sitting down and becoming BFFs with every contestant.
Yeah, that article fucking sucks. I don't know who the insider there was. Everything about that is annoying. I understand that it's going to be
different and weird
without Chris Harrison. He has been the host for 20 years.
Yep.
He has hosted every season. It's going to be weird without him, 100%. But will we adapt? Will people adapt to it? Yes. Like, that's the thing. Like, I get that. I understand where people are like, oh, it was different. Chris Harrison wasn't there. But they could have spun it in a better way. Yes, it was different. Chris Harrison wasn't there. It was a little weird for everybody, the production on set, to not have Chris there. But Caitlin and Tayshia did a great job. Katie shined.
Yeah, listen to this quote.
It just doesn't make any sense, that article.
This is about Caitlin and Tayshia. They're very attractive and fun and familiar to the franchise, so it kind of distracted from Katie being the only desirable woman there.
Oh, so maybe they're insinuating that the other
guys were distracted?
Okay,
they're both in relationships.
They're both in relationships, and those guys then need to keep it in their fucking pants because they're there for Katie, and they know they're there for Katie. So they can't even be around attractive women without wanting to fuck them.
That is a ridiculous
statement to put into an article.
Yeah,
that is basically it's just going against everything what everyone's trying to not have be the case anymore. That guys can't be around attractive women without wanting to bang them, first of all. The too much woman in one space. Like, it's just a terrible article.
I don't like terrible. It. No, I know. It's insane. And like I said, interestingly, coming out right after that submission was posted on Dumois. So it's like where... Those are two completely different messages. One, oh, no one wanted Chris Harrison. He's never coming back. Two, everybody missed Chris Harrison and he's needed on the set. Like, two completely different messages.
Yeah, it is. I think that we will find out more as it goes on. Well, we'll just have to watch the season.
Yeah. Yep. Billie Eilish revealed that she has her new album coming out July 30th. She released her new song called Your Power. The song and music video, she directed the music video herself. It's very, very cool. And just like, it feels like such a different vibe, this album. Robbie Fox, who we work with, posted on Twitter the two album covers next to each other, you know, the from her last album and from this album, where it's like heaven and hell. Like, she looks so angelic, the blonde hair and everything. And this new one, it's like close up of her face, and her last one where like she's possessed and like it's kind of terrifying. Very different images, but like cool juxtaposition is what I want to say.
Great word.
Good word, yeah, but hard to say. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm very excited for the new sound. It's everything she does is very angelic, but this feels like angelic with a happier.
Like maybe
message?
The lyrics are like
kind of,
because there are songs in the old album that
they sound
same,
angelic,
they sound,
but they're so sad.
But if you actually listen to the lyrics, it's like, this is really sad.
So sad.
Yeah, I really loved her last album, so I'm excited for this one. This one's called Happier Than Ever, so I think that maybe it's going to have a happier feel to it. The music video was super cool. After watching Billie Eilish's documentary on Apple Music, I can tell how involved she is with music videos. She really likes things to be super real, and she's really involved in the creation of all of it, and I think that's really cool. And she really... I know that a lot of artists do this, obviously, but it seems like there's a lot of thought that goes into everything that she does. And with the making of her last album, it seemed like there were a lot of things that she had to redo, and she was second guessing, and she didn't like this song, and she didn't want to put it out, and ended up being one of the biggest songs, and a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
Where seeing how she posted about this album, saying that it's the best thing that she has ever done, and she's so proud and happy of it, gave me chills and made me so happy for her, watching that documentary and seeing how she was always second guessing herself after her Coachella set that she did for the first time. She thought that she did terrible. She forgot the lyrics to one of her songs. And it was a great moment. People laughed. People enjoyed it. People love real moments like that when they realize, oh, the artist is a real person. They can fuck up and not remember something. And it was almost sad to see. It was interesting. But at the same time, you're like, she's so good. She's so talented. She's unreal. Why is she doubting herself so much?
She's like so young.
She's so young. Exactly. So young and so talented at such a young age. She's doubting herself so much. It's sad to see. With this, her post about it, I was so happy for her because it seems like she's so happy with what she's about to release. And I think the little tease that we got with Your Power in that music video is just more for great things to come. So I'm really excited for her album. She has a ton of songs coming out on that album, which is great because I think a lot of artists, sometimes they'll put out 7 to 10 songs, or you'll get even more than that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. I love Billie. And I love her whole new look. I think she could pull off anything, but it looks awesome.
And like you said, she is super strategic in what she does and how she puts stuff out, that it makes a lot of sense I think, for her to release this song when she did too. Because as the album Happier Than Ever, you listen to Your Power and it's more like that's clearly about a past relationship. It's dark. I think people were saying that this song recounts like her abusive relationship that she was in when she was 16. So it's like, it feels like it was a plan, you know, release this song, music video, and show as the first step. And now when the whole album comes out, you can see like the change and what has happened in her life since then. And, you know, like she wrote, also like she said, Happier Than Ever.
She put out My Future, which is also on that, like, was it last summer, I think?
Yeah, that's on this album too, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. So like, yeah. I feel like it's all like the My Future thing is like, I'm excited about the album coming out, like yeah, all yeah. this stuff. And then,
it's like, this is, let's talk about this from the past. And then when the whole album comes out, like, let's continue to talk right. about the future.
And obviously and Phineas, present. Her brother, is extremely talented and they are a great team. And I can't even imagine working that closely with one of your siblings and not butting heads all the time. But yeah. they're an awesome duo.
Yeah, yeah. And the music video is really cool. Like, she's so young to be directing her own music videos. And we were going back and forth about this snake that she has in the music video, because it's this massive snake that's wrapped around her body, wrapped around her neck. And then she posted a couple Instagram stories where she is very clearly holding a real snake. The music video is kind of hard to tell. Like, some angles, it's like, okay, that kind of looks real. And some, it's like, okay, how is she sitting there? This snake is wrapped 8 times around her throat. So maybe it was a little bit of both. Maybe it was all just completely real. But the metaphor of, like, the snake wrapping around her in for this song was also very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. In the documentary, I'm pretty sure, and I may be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but if you're listening to this and I'm right, let me know. I think.
But if I'm wrong, don't let me know. But
if I'm
right,
no, if I'm wrong, let me know as well. But I'm pretty sure she, like, popped off in her documentary being like, I'm never having somebody else direct my music part. Video
yeah.
again.
I remember that.
Like, she was like, I'm not having anybody else direct my music video. Yeah, because they weren't understanding what she was saying. So I get why she's directing her music videos now, because she knows really what cool. she wants.
Really cool.
Definitely.
Major update in Britney Spears' battle with her dad for the conservatorship. Britney Spears will be speaking herself in court on June 23rd.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
It's finally happening. This is everything anybody has ever wanted. We may be freeing Britney.
We just, all these months, these years, we've said, we just want to hear Britney talk about it. We just want to hear how Britney feels about it. And I think everyone is very hopeful that we'll get to see what she has to say, whether it's standing up there and saying, like, I do not want my father a part of this any longer, or maybe she doesn't. Maybe she says something different. We don't know. But her lawyer told the judge this week, the conservatee has requested that I seek from the court a status hearing at which she can address the court directly. The lawyer did not disclose the specific matters that Britney would like to address. The attorney shared the hearing would pertain to the status of the conservatorship. My client asked that it be done on expedited basis, emphasizing the urgency with which Britney would like to appear before the court. And so because of the request, they're doing it within a 30-day window is what they asked. The judge set the status hearing for June 23rd at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. Other matters, and then they're, you know, they talked about some other stuff also pertaining to the conservatorship. And now, like I said, this is a huge step.
This is huge, huge, because I feel like we will finally know where Britney stands.
Yeah.
If she's able to get in front of the court and she's the one asking for it, I'm hoping this means we're going to get the truth from her.
Yeah.
I'm hoping nobody's telling her, hey, you got to get up there and say this. Like, her dad is controlling what she's saying.
Right.
I really pray that she's able to say what she really feels, because I really think she's stuck. I really do. That's what I believe. I think she's stuck. I think it's terrible. And I think it's a long time coming that Britney Spears waiting for her to address the court and have them actually hear what Britney has to say out of her own mouth instead of people controlling her life forever.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it, because I think when we heard this, everyone got really excited, hoping that she would really kind of say what everyone's probably looking for her to say. And if that's not the case, people are going to freak out. It's also like, if it's not what she says, it could fuel the controlling situation even more, being like, wow, like that. How much control does Jamie have? But this is still so, it's been going on for so long. And Brittany, I feel like, has got to be just bleeding money, because not only is she paying her lawyers, it's like her money is paying Jamie. So it's really just been going on for so long that you hope Brittany's ready to go up there and be like, hey, I'm, because she keeps saying on Instagram, which is why everybody's like, what is she, okay? Is she not okay? She's like, I'm good. I'm happy. My life is good. We saw pictures. She went to a wedding with her boyfriend, like her boyfriend, whose wedding? I don't know. It was in like, it looked like a standard hotel ballroom, like a very, and it, there seemed like there was 30 people there and Britney Spears was there at the wedding.
But if Britney Spears was truly okay, wouldn't these people that she's going attending weddings for and her friends be like, Britney's fine, guys, stop. Britney's fine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they say that?
I don't know. It's,
wouldn't she say that? Wouldn't right. she come out and be like, guys, enough, I'm fine.
Right. She also could be she could be living a life on a day-to-day basis where she is enjoying herself and, you know, quote unquote, being happy, but still wanting Jamie out of the conservatorship, which I feel like is more likely the case. I don't know. It's just, how deep do you want to go? Like, does everyone really want to dig in and say she doesn't control any of her social media? Which I do think the last time is like her accounts aren't, her accounts are owned by some LLC that is run by Jamie. It's all very fishy, but like I said, there's really no straight up fact. We don't know anything for sure.
But maybe we will find out.
Yeah.
On June 23rd.
That's what I'm saying. This could be the only time that Britney like actually speaks about it.
Hopefully.
I really, really hope so. We have a great interview with Zach C. coming up, Zach Clark. But before we do that, just want to remind you guys, you know, if you are a struggling chef, you're trying your best, things aren't coming out the way that you want them to, we have such an easy way to become a master chef. It's with HelloFresh. HelloFresh cuts out all of those, you know, stressful prep time, grocery store trips. You can get full amazing meals ready to go 20 minutes or less. Everything's sent to you packaged, ready to go. So you have less prep time, not a lot of chopping and all of those kinds of things. And they also have quick breakfast and lunch as well. HelloFresh offers 25 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy, with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. I will tell you, HelloFresh is so great. The ingredients are so fresh. You don't feel like, you know, they're sent to you right to your door. You feel like you went to the grocery store, picked up these items and brought them into your house, which is so, so nice. I will say that when I am cooking, I'm not great at it. I could use some help. HelloFresh makes it so easier for me. And it's great to do like in a couple or with friends. Everybody gets a job. It's so easy. Nobody's arguing over, oh, we should cook it this way, or oh, we should cook it this way, because you say, hey, you know what? Let's follow HelloFresh. We'll do it together. Joe and I have done it a bunch of times and have loved the outcome. Joe is a much better cook than I am. And so when I get the HelloFresh meals,
he is a really good cook.
When I get the HelloFresh meals, it's great because I can kind of step up to his game. And he also loves them as well. They taste delicious. So you can go to HelloFresh.com/12chicks and use code 12chicks for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Once again, go to HelloFresh.com/12chicks and use code 12chicks for 12 free meals, including free shipping.
All right, everyone, we are here with a special guest. I know everyone's super excited about this because we slipped it in briefly in the last podcast. Zach C. is here, Zach Clark from The Bachelorette with Tayshia. She's not here, but you know, if you watch the season, then you know he ended up with Tayshia. And he's here, so welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
We're
pumped to be here.
We are super excited that you are here. And this is now we've had Dale in studio. Now we got Zach in studio. It feels like we're getting back into the swing of things.
You're going in order, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Great point.
Exactly. Yes. Just we're going in chronological order of winners. Hopefully that continues. We continue to do that on the show.
Now I feel like we should ask you exactly what we asked Dale. How much did you see of our show talking about you? What do you know?
And what I know about you guys, you should be really fucking proud. I mean, you're like, if I was at 26 and 23, right?
Yeah.
I was like shooting dope and smoking. You know what I mean? You guys are like, you guys are killing it.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, I caught some stuff on Twitter. I know Fran was on Team Clarkie.
Big time.
I appreciate the love.
Big time.
Yeah.
There's my dad's from Haddonfield, so from the beginning, you were my pick. Because even when it was Claire, I was like, well, I like this guy. Remember, I gave Zach the first rose in our first Cutting Stems episode.
Yeah.
So your old man grew up in Haddonfield.
My dad, my aunts and uncles all still live down there. Same with my grandparents.
Okay.
All yep.
Right. Yeah. See, I was like not as on your team. I have to be completely honest. Like, I can't sit in front of you and say that I was. But I do. Like, here's the thing, though. And Fran, we said this off camera. Like, we don't take it as seriously as other people do. Like, when I'm shitting on people on the show, like, I really don't care that much off of it. You know, it's kind of just my instant reaction or whatever. And it was the thing that I felt about Dale, which I told you guys I wanted to talk about on the show, was watching Dale and the way he spoke on the show, and you're like, everything he says is perfect. What is up? And then he came on the show and he did kind of the same thing or whatever.
Yeah,
and so, and then so with you, I was like, everything he says is perfect. It was kind of the same thing, but I definitely think you show way more of yourself. Show even after the show, you've showcased yourself. You are real. You are you. And I definitely am Team Zach now. So I want you to know that. But I was a little outspoken, just for a little fun, you know, just
good.
To create a little controversy.
You gotta pick a pony and ride it.
And also, we can't both love the same person.
Right.
And that's also, just, you know, like when, one of us. Is,
yeah. When you rile somebody up about something. Like, it was more so to,
she
like...
She loves riling me up.
Like, to get under Fran's skin a little bit.
Yeah.
So, that kind of helped, too.
That's definitely true. That's a big part of it. Because she knows that if I love something, and, like, she'll be like, I don't think it's that great, and I, like, explode.
Exactly. So, that's why it was a little bit of that as well.
Yeah.
But we are happy you are here, and we are big fans of you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. So, for you, it was just the Philly hat.
It was the Philly thing. I liked your vibe. And then, well, with Claire, it was like, we didn't see you at all. So I was like, oh boy, this guy is going to, I thought I had you as a favorite from the beginning. And then I was like, ooh, that was probably a bad pick because I didn't feel like there was anything with Claire. But when Tayshia came in, it was like, okay, this makes more sense. They actually seem like they have a real connection and they're talking. But yeah, like Rhea said, there was definitely a lot of moments where I think everybody thought you were almost too.
Well, I remember what it was now. It was when they asked you if you've ever cheated on somebody.
Oh, here we go.
I know, I'm going to get riled up about it again. And you said yes. And then your answer was that it was in like sixth grade or something. And I was like, there's no fucking way.
We spent a whole episode arguing
about
this.
I was like, there's no fucking way that he said yes so fast and immediately was like, oh, it was sixth grade. Because I feel like when you think, you know, those. Obviously, sixth grade, you're like, those relationships don't necessarily count. So I was like, I don't know about that. But then people were DMing me and they were like, Rhea, you got to think about the editing. He maybe didn't say yes so fast. Maybe he does consider that cheating. So we can
get yes. And I think for me, my mind can be very like rigid, you know? So if I'm asked a question, especially in that, like, I'm on national television, this is going to get out there. Whether it's eighth grade or senior year or I'm 25 years old, like the girl that I cheated on, like she can put that out there. And then all of a sudden I lied about it. Right. And mm-hmm. I think like, cause I did have a time, like on that date, I had a couple minutes to think about, all right, I'm going to be asked some crazy questions right here. What's my response going to be? So I was kind of prepared for it. Right. But, yeah, I did. I mean, what do you want?
Look, I mean, that's the story. He's sticking, that's to.
A, he's sticking to it. I can tell.
I mean, I think if, when it was fact checked, it might have been like eighth grade, like whatever. Like the right. girl, you know, we started. Emmy Hall is still like a friend of mine, you know, and she's like married with kids in Haddonfield.
So
and,
I was
like,
going to say, in a small life. Town. Yeah.
And she remembered you cheating on her in that grade. Okay, so now, so that makes sense now that if you would have said no, she would have been like, no, we were in sixth grade and you cheated on me. Right. I get it. I get it.
I think I actually. Because you would do the same. Like, I think that if we, if our boyfriend when we were younger went on reality TV and they cheated on us and then lied on TV, we would be screaming from the rooftops about the story.
That's a great point because I talk about sixth grade all the
all
time.
All the time.
Like, I always reference my middle school for some reason, like, as very formative years with yeah. relationships. I have no idea why. So, you know what?
Yeah.
You're right.
There we go. All right. So, that's one win for
yeah, yeah.
For
we're checking, we're checking out all the boxes. How are things going? Going now post show,
things are good. I mean, I think, you know, I've mentioned this many times in interviews. Like, I didn't know much about this world, so the whole idea.
Did you watch any like just one episode? Like, I know your sister nominated you, but did you watch like a test episode?
So my dirty secret is when I was married, there was a season with Allie.
Yep.
Like, this is 10 years ago.
Uh huh.
And I was, like, sick, you know, mm-hmm. like, whatever. I was out there. But we watched a couple I remember, and, like, she, maybe the guy was Juan or someone, she, like, mm-hmm. she ended Adam up
Fetichowski
with. Yeah, that's it. And yeah. then since then, I hadn't seen anything. So I was really walking into it blind. I mean,
right.
I watched
so
a couple episodes.
So it wasn't
episodes.
Really fresh in your mind.
I mean, I watched, like, the limo entrances. Like, I wanted to at least, like, know, yeah, I'm not coming in that. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to walk up and say hello. Like, at mm-hmm. least prepare myself a little bit for the moment, so... That's my.
You didn't want any gimmicky limo entrance?
I mean, nah, I'm good. I'm good on just saying what's up.
Yeah, did they try to tell you to do something like that, or are they kind of just like, do your thing?
I get that question a lot. I mean, I don't know if it was just me and like my experience. I wasn't really told to do much. I kind of was able to navigate it however I saw fit. I think mm-hmm. maybe if they knew, they maybe had a crack and they could go at someone and say like, hey, you want to throw this goofy suit on or pull up in this car?
Yeah.
But for me, I think they kind of got it pretty quickly that I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. You know what else I feel like now I'm remembering that bothered people too was the New York connection. Because I think people were watching and they were like, wait, I thought he was a Philly guy. Now we're going to New York. Why is his hometown New York? What's your connection with the city?
So I've been in New York for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's my safe place. So yeah. I ran around South Jersey, got married, thought I was going to live this, like, suburban life, right? Like, mm-hmm. that we all dream of. And I end up going to rehab. And I'm sitting in rehab for, like, 4 fucking months. I'm like, what am I going to do? And my counselor comes in one day. He's like, what about New York City? I'm like, why not? So yeah. I moved up here January of 12 and, like, knew no one, yeah. right? Like, just zero people. Mm-hmm. Had never partied here. Thought the city sucked. Hated yeah. the sports teams. Like, I was like... But fuck it, let's give it a shot. And so, yeah. you know, for me, it's my safe place. I love New York. You know, like I love everything about it—the energy and just it is. It's a land of opportunity, and it'll always have a special place in my heart. That being said, I know there was some like you know talk about the whole why was his hometown
yeah,
in New
yeah.
York. You know, it's like first of all, we're in La Quinta.
Yeah.
like
yeah.
making Haddonfield, New Jersey at La Quinta or yep. Phil. I mean, it was
right,
going to be
right.
a little bit harder yeah. to
yes.
pull
nobody
some shit
would
off.
Even know what you're trying to impersonate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just are walking through like some nice spring flowers and you're like, hey, welcome to this is South Jersey. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and the thing with that too is like, right. So I had connected with Tayshia at that point and we had started the conversation. I'm like, well, what do you think about New York City?
Yeah.
So for me, that was a little opportunity to say like, eat a bagel, have a slice, yeah. you know.
Yeah,
it's
and,
a great
and
place.
That's where you currently live. So you want to know that she's comfortable with New York City. And for somebody who moved here, you said you had no friends here. how did you end up making friends in New York City? Because I feel like that's a question people wonder. How do I move to a New York City and make friends?
Yeah. I mean, my superpower, like my competitive advantage is like this whole recovery thing that I have going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I got here, I just started reaching out to some folks that I knew would kind of help me out. And I ran around the city and I put myself out there, much like I did, you know, 10 years later going on this show. Yeah. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Truly. Networking, really.
Yeah,
definitely. And Tayshia, now it seems like has gotten a little bit of the New York City buzz. I know, of course, she has been filming for some time now. But before that, it did feel like she was kind of getting, because at first it was like, oh, we're bi-coastal, we're moving. But I felt like she was really starting to fall in love with New York.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it sucks, right? Like, we came back to the city on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And we were here for a couple months, but it was still freezing cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's still no indoor dining. So I can't be like, hey, let's go to Union Square Cafe. Like, let's go have a meal.
Your favorite restaurants.
Right, do the thing. And then literally it kind of like popped off a little bit right at the end there. And she's like, oh, I got this thing. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I think this next time around, she's going to really get to experience like Central Park and all that stuff.
Especially New York City in the springtime is beautiful. It's the best time in the city. But I think people love fall in the city as well. But spring in the city is just awesome.
No, I think we're actually in like the
prime.
Like today actually might be the best day of the year.
Honestly, it's 80 degrees. Yeah. It's April. It'll get cooler by dinner time. Sit outside.
Yeah.
Is Tayshia back? Because I saw Caitlin was back.
They're done. Yeah. But we are reconnecting soon, which I'm very excited about.
Good.
Yeah. That'll be exciting. It's been a minute. I hope we see it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be updates.
It's funny because there is like, I think that there's a lot of pressure that's put on the winning couple. And I feel like you guys got a good taste of that when Tayshia was filming. And it was like, oh, well, she posted this and she wasn't wearing her ring in this video. And like everybody freaks out. How do you guys kind of manage like the pressures from the fans and the outside world? Because, you know, people love you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always great to be loved, you know, but at the end of the day, we are in a relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Right. And so all that noise and all that drama doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously it can affect people, especially if it's negative. But we get really good at swipe and delete. Like, I've learned that just like...
Yeah, in the DMs, you're just like, I don't even want to look at this anymore.
I mean, it's either that or I laugh out loud. I mean, some of the shit is so funny. Yeah. Like, you just have to appreciate it, so... Yeah.
Good. Well, that's good. Because I'm sure there's definitely some crazy, crazy messages and things that you guys get, but...
Oh, no. There was some shit with my mom, like...
Oh, first of all, I forgot about that. Yes, your mom unfollowed Tayshia.
My mom
Everybody
is
freaked out.
Like 70 years old.
Yeah.
Loves a glass of Chardonnay. Yeah. Like probably like at home, like doing this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I call her, I'm like, Mom, what's going on? Like, why did you unfollow
Tayshia? The internet
what happened?
Ablaze.
She's like, I didn't unfollow her. And Tayshia has this podcast. She's like, I just kept getting all these things for clickbait. And like, I didn't know what to do. And I started just clicking things. So like, she probably accidentally, but you know, these people are out there like sourcing this shit all day long. So,
oh, they know who is following who. They know who's not following who. They know the second you unfollow somebody. It's honestly wild the things that they can detect.
Right.
But you just got to.
They said something about Caitlin not following you or following you and then
I
not
didn't
following
see that.
You.
I
yeah,
didn't
there's,
see that.
Yeah. And then Caitlin was like, well, I never followed him to begin with.
Ooh. Well, she probably will now.
Well, yeah, it was that I thought was funny. Like, she, you know, it was like a social media, like, well, I went to check to see if Zach followed me and he didn't, so I didn't follow him.
Fair enough. I do that with people.
Yeah.
How was it during the filming of the show? Because you mentioned you didn't sign yourself up for this, but you were going in head first. Yeah. Did you know the whole time that you and Tayshia kind of had a special connection, or is it something you figured out more towards the end?
Well, I can start. I think in order to answer that question, I got to talk about the Claire piece a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a lot of reasons, I'm grateful that it happened the way it did. One of which, like, I showed up there and my head was rotating. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, I remember sitting at that first photo ceremony. I'm like, just send me home. I just was like so uncomfortable at first. But I feel like I almost got a dry run, right? Like, I feel like I almost got this dry run. And then the drama happens. Dale and Claire ride off into the sunset. Good for that. and Tayshia walks in, I'm like, okay, we're live.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Okay, it's on, you know? And so I know that first night, you know, we connected a little bit, like, by the fountain. And then since then, I mean, like, we like, from that moment forward, I should say, we always had a nice connection. The one-on-one, like, where I was able to get real about, you know, some of my history and the Ferris wheel and that kind of stuff was when it really, I think, took off for me. So
yeah.
And I think that conversation is something that everyone really appreciated. I know that we talked about it after and we were like, this is honestly great, because a lot of the conversations that were had on the Claire/Tayshia season were things that were never discussed on the show before, or maybe brushed upon but not discussed in depth. And so we really admire that you were so open on such a big platform about something like that. It was really, I think, big of you to open up like that, because, you know, you didn't have to. You don't have to air all that out. But what you talked about can definitely help a lot of people. I'm sure it did. And just hearing about how open and honest you were was really awesome for the viewers.
Something the show's never really done before.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. And I mean, just for even for you guys, I'm sure at your age, like, you're starting to see some friends kind of like go down these like kind of weird road, and like maybe they have an issue, maybe they don't, you know. And for me, like, I'm at a point in my life where I'm not ashamed of it. It's actually, I'm very proud of it, you know. And like, if people want to judge me for that shit, fine. But my life is incredible. It's next level, right? And I get to do all the shit that I used to do hammered, and it's, I wake up feeling great. You know, like, that's the way I see it. So I appreciate you saying that, obviously.
Yeah, and that's a really positive outlook to have on it.
Yeah.
I will say, like, you know, to your point, the guys, I think one of the things that gets lost in this whole thing is it takes balls to, like, go out and, like, do, like, so all the guys that showed up there and, like, and Tayshia and Claire and, like, all the people, you know, it's I think it's glorified to a certain degree, but it takes a certain type of individual to really go on TV and, like, put yourself out there like that. And I think we had a really good group, and Tayshia was kind of able to hold that space for some of those conversations. I know, like, with Ben and Ivan, and some of that shit was real. So,
Yeah. Do you think, like, you guys kind of being an older cast made a big difference? Because there's been so many seasons where, like, the median age is like 23, 24, and you didn't see these kinds of conversations happening.
I mean, I would put it back on you guys. You watch the show, right? Like, I would ask you, like, if you felt that coming through.
I thought that the age really made a huge difference.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the general conversation that we took away from the whole season, because obviously
more mature guys.
Yeah, we talked about that, and obviously it was a crazy season. It was all over the place. We were like, oh, you know, even as viewers, I mean, it was crazier for you guys, but as viewers, we were like, what is happening? A new Bachelorette? But we love Tayshia, so we were so excited about that. But the whole thing that we took away was like, okay, you know, was this the most explosive ending? No. Was it the craziest thing? Maybe not, but I think that this season had something that it never had, and it was because everyone seemed very mature. Yeah, there was like actual substance to the show.
But what happened? Because it's hard because you don't like really know, I feel like, with like Peter and Hannah and like all the shit that went down. It was
Do you not even know about any of that?
Dramatic.
Nah.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Like, there's shit that like I walked through that I didn't know, like, apparently, like, two dudes usually show up to this proposal at the end. Like, what? Like, and, like, one is sent home. Like, I'm going into that thing like I'm the guy, right? Like, I'm the dude. Yeah. Like, that's in my head. Like, this is locked up. And I remember talking to Chris Harris. He's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. What are you talking? Let's do this. Yeah. You know, like. And then
you were like, there's
a
chance she says no.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Imagine that. You would have been like, then why the fuck did they send me here?
You're like, why am I here? I thought this was it.
Yeah. You're probably better off not knowing a lot, honestly. It probably worked out in your favor. And honestly, I bet, is Tayshia happy that you don't really know much about it?
Yeah, I think that was attractive to her naturally, right?
Yeah.
Because it separates now being off the show. It separates your relationship from the show if you're not so involved with the franchise itself.
Grounding a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have a lot of love for those people. Yeah. No doubt. Like, they've definitely, and I shared this with some of the producers, like, they've definitely come under fire for some shit that, like, you know, some of it very, like, warrant, you know, and, like, that's why you see change and that's how we get to, like, a better place or whatever it is. But, like, you know, I did this crazy run, like, 2-3 weeks ago in the city here, like, it was just like a grassroots thing. We were going to raise some money, and like, that shit wouldn't have happened without like this platform that I've been given as a result of these people like working on this show. So there's some good that comes out of it, and you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think that, and to not to just, you know, like keep complimenting you, but you, it's a good way to like use the platform in a positive way. Because I think that there, a lot of people assume that the younger kids that go on, sometimes it is, you know, for those Instagram followers and for the, you know, they want their own podcast or they want their own show or whatever it is. And it always kind of seemed like people didn't get those vibes from you, which I feel like is why you stood out a lot also. And seeing now, like what you're doing, like with the run, one of he's not here anymore,
yeah,
but Bailey Carlin ran with you guys.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see. And I feel like you've been able to use your platform to talk about, you know, release recovery and all these things that you have going on. So that's really cool. I think that's like a positive way to look at it. And I'm curious, like, about release, because you told your story on the show, but we didn't really hear where like that ended and your foundation began and your company, you know. So how did you even get say, like, when did you say, you know what, I am going to fully dedicate my life to this?
Great question. I think, well, first of all, just on one thing you said, you know, about the guy that kind of goes on the show to become like,
or girl, both, vice versa,
you know. And like for me, like, it turns out for that person exactly the way it's supposed to, you know, like most of the time. And like, and if that's what they got to do to like make their next buck, like, good for them.
Right.
You know, like, and I say, like, obviously, like, I want people to be there like for the love and the story. And like, but at the end of the day, like, that's my point. Like, you're going to get that. And I don't know, like, I'm kind of okay with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think, honestly, if you're going to make money off that, go ahead and make your money and whatever.
I was just in a different, like, and that leads into, like, I was just in a little bit of a different spot, you know, like, where I had a company that was established and I've been, you know, working in addiction recovery for, you know, the majority of my sobriety. So basically I showed up in New York City and I was still working, like, my old job, like, the, you know, the Cube Farm, like, crazy, you know, smiling and dying, like, boiler room shit. And I got introduced to a couple guys, to your point, Rhea, from earlier, and it just, like, one thing led to another. So I got a job kind of working in the field and worked my way up at that company. And then after 5 years, I looked at my co-founder of Release, Justin Gerlin, who's also, you know, my best friend in life. I said, like, dude, we can do more. And so we got a call about this property up in Westchester County, which is whatever, 45 minutes north of here. And we bought this house almost like 4 years ago to the date, early May, and we haven't looked back. So we have a 17-bed program up there for men. So like, you know, people 18 and up coming out of rehab, they come live with us. Like, I was just up there this morning. It's the best. It's my favorite place in the world. And then we have two properties here in the city, one for men, one for women. Women's on the Upper East Side, men's down in the West Village. So that's 40 beds. And then, like, me and Justin, we do a lot of, like, consultation work and interventions. And, like, I was just texting with someone now, like, can you do a house call tonight? You know, like, like, balancing that with kind of this whole, like, new relationship. And it's been a lot. And then, as if I wasn't already busy enough, in early 2020, we started the Release Recovery Foundation, which – again, Justin and I, like, looked at each other and had this moment of, like, all right, we're helping a bunch of rich people because that's who can afford our services. Let's try and give back to those who can't afford it. So we started that, and we've raised a bunch of money. We have some people in treatment now getting help. And really, like, the whole goal there is just to raise money and put people into treatment that can't afford it. Like, not to bridge the middle gap for, like, the middle class, but, like, really, like, we want to help the people that otherwise are on the street.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And where can people donate to that now?
Yeah, it's releaserecoveryfoundation.org. You know, there's definitely ways to donate. We're going to have a lot of things coming up this year. We have a golf outing in July, which will be cool. I'm running London and New York marathons. We'll have teams out for that.
Awesome.
You know, and we're just about, like, community. I'm sure I'm going to start doing some, like, group runs in the park and people can roll through. And it's not just, like, for me, you know, my passion is, like, it's not about just, like, being sober. Like, that's to each his own, you know. And I just listened to actually Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard,
he did Macklemore. Like, they did a podcast. Uh-huh. And like, I really encourage anyone who's like curious about this whole thing to listen to it, because they kept it so real and they didn't put recovery in like this bullshit box that so many people do. Like, mm-hmm. it's we're just people that are like trying to do the best we can and like help some people. And sober to me is like, I don't do drugs and I don't drink. Like, yeah. Sober to someone else might mean something else, and that's right. Okay. You know, that's not my business.
Whatever somebody wants to do is what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pumped. It's fun.
That's awesome. And you said, you know, obviously doing all of that and being in this new relationship, Tayshia is obviously doing her thing too. She hasn't been here as much. You guys are doing the distance thing. How has that been? Like, how have you guys... how do you guys stay connected?
I mean, like a lot of this.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of FaceTime, a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messaging. You know, it's hard at times naturally, you know, because... You know, if I'm on a heater and like I'm whatever, busy doing whatever I'm doing for a couple of days and she's got the same thing going, it's like the relationship almost can like feel like it's not the priority. And I say that in the most like loving way because,
you have a list of all these things to do and like talk to Tayshia becomes like one of the thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like where it's not, there's so many other things going on, I guess.
And I think that happens with all relationships, everybody, you know? Yeah. Like, we both have boyfriends, and we're busy, and we're running around, and it's like, oh, forgot to text and see what's going on,
right.
So.
Right. So trying to have grace with each other, and, like, that's it, you know? But we're going to be, like I said, reconnected soon, and so I'm pumped about that, and it's all good.
Good. And exciting things this summer, and see what you guys are doing with Release Recovery is really awesome. Is there anything else you want
to? I'm trying to. I think we covered it. I think that
because we talked about it so much during the show that I'm like almost forget everything that like I'm like.
No, I
it
think
ended so
I,
well for you guys.
Yeah, it did. It ended really well for you guys, and I think we covered the cheating thing, which was my number
was
one thing that I talked about. And also,
we're good on that now.
But also, you talking about your addiction and rehab and stuff was a conversation we genuinely really loved, and we talked about it on the podcast. So I just thought that was like just admirable. Did I say that right? I feel like I stumbled over my word there.
Admirable.
Yes, exactly. But thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. What do you got tomorrow night? What do you got? Come on, give me 2 seconds on the draft.
We're doing, well, one. Oh, the draft will have already happened. I think the Eagles are taking a cornerback. I think they're going to take Horn if Horn doesn't go, I think they're taking Horn. And if not, I would... Sneaky would kind of love Micah Parsons if they don't do that. I just don't think what these wide receivers are going to be there. I think they're like, one of them might be there. I don't think one of them is going to be there.
Yeah.
Do you think, Zach?
I mean, I'm just always worried about Howie trying to be the smartest guy in the room. I could see them trading back. I mean, that was a lot of the buzz today about them trading back and, you know, one of these teams trading up to get a quarterback. But, I mean... If Devontae Smith is there and like you got a Heisman wide, like just
right. If he's
take
there,
him and stop,
I hope they take him. But I'll be surprised. I feel
totally.
Are you out on sports? You're no good. Yeah.
No, I'm not out on sports. I'm just like not. First of all, football is not my favorite sport at all, and I'm not like a Philly fan. So you know,
and you're so I'm like so fascinated by you guys. I know like we're up here, but like
now Zach's gonna interview us.
How did you end up? I mean, like
we dropped out of college.
I started as interns. Yeah, well, we both
people need to
as
hear
interns.
That story. Like it's
funny. They've heard it.
Well, the funny thing is, people always ask us. They're like, "Can you tell the story about how you got hired?" Because when new listeners come in, they're like, "We haven't heard it." But long story short is, I started when I was 19 as an intern here. Yeah. I was going to school at FIT, which was down the block from old office at the time. Yeah. We were on that same street. It's now literally right across the street here too. I was like, "Wait, what?" But I went to high school with somebody who works here, Clenny Balls, and I just hit him up being like, "Congrats," because he got an internship. And then within a week, he was like, "Well, they don't have any girls here besides Erica, who's the CEO.
They just moved to New York.
They were like, well, they want some girls." So I came in and just started right from there. And
6 months later, I came in. Smitty hired me. I just loved, like, I followed Smitty for Philly stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he had tweeted out, like, he was looking for an intern. I was, like, the only one that actually, like, applied. He emailed me back and was like, you're one of the only people who sent a resume. And because all these kids were like, hey, Smitty, fuck you.
Yeah, that's pretty sad, honestly.
And, so I came in one morning, sat down with them. They were doing like a morning show at the time. And they were like, you're hired. I started that day. And then that was it. We were the only girls here.
Yeah, and then so we started our show.
Kicking ass.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they like the college, like, because I've done a lot of speaking to colleges, right?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, they need to hear your guys' story, like, truly.
We've been asked before, we're always like, do you want to hear from us, though? Because we didn't graduate.
Yeah, we always say, we're like, we are not the best people to talk at colleges because we dropped out. Yeah, everybody's going to hear our story.
Hey, just fucking drop out and try something.
Everybody's
going to
hear our story and be like, oh, all right, I'm out of here. They'll just walk out of the auditorium.
Half the people drop out anyway, so maybe I know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, good point.
It's true.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. This has been a blast. It's been great meeting you in person. And we hope to see more of you. I don't know, you know, you and Tayshia are good right now, so I don't know if we'll see you on any more of the Bachelor shows, but
you gotta bring Tayshia back.
Yeah, we do follow along on Instagram. We'll be looking forward to your reconnection. I know everybody's looking forward to that.
Cool.
Not
maybe we'll see you guys running. We personally don't run, but we are good cheerleaders.
Yeah, I'm out and about. We'll run in. We'll, I mean, it always happens. I'll see you guys next week.
Like,
once you meet New York, it's like,
all the time. It's big city, but also small.
Yeah.
Thank God for the masks. That's like safe.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and we hope you have a fantastic weekend. We will talk to you all on Monday. Love you. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.